I'm Perry Garfinkel, longtime contributor to the New York Times, and I'm also a contributing editor to Insider's Guide to Spas.
Well, we're talking today about in-flight wellness programs. And before we get into the meat of what your article in the New York Times says, why don't you tell us what these wellness offerings are? It's really an emerging perk for people, isn't it?
Yes, and this is in the last, say, 5 years, I would say airlines have put an emphasis on well-being in flight. So airlines like British Air has a well-being channel. Cathay Pacific tied in with a yoga chain to produce in-flight videos. They call them Travel Well with Yoga. Air France, in addition to its mindfulness offerings, renovated its business lounges, and you see a lot of airlines with adding yoga and massage to their business lounges. Lufthansa has a Headspace Space Age seat cushions. United Airlines is working with Saks Fifth Avenue for better bedding. Emirates offers special interactive amenity kits, including activities and health tips for relaxing travel. There's even a mattress company, Casper, which paired with American Airlines to offer products for better rest. So this was all going on. Now, in the last 2 years, several airlines that I found for this story I wrote for the New York Times have commissioned actual doctors, actual medical professionals, to look at what they're doing in a holistic and scientific way to recommend programs that will also ease the stress of travel.
And these aren't just run-of-the-mill MDs. These are pretty bold-faced names, as they say.
Yes. Turkish Airlines brought in Mehmet Oz, the famous host of the Dr. Oz show. Singapore Airlines turned to Richard Carmona, who is a former U.S. Surgeon General, and he's now Chief of Health Innovation at the Resort Spa Canyon Ranch, which is in Massachusetts and Arizona. Air France is using its own medical aviation doctor and a psychologist. And who am I missing? Qantas also is working with a group called Health Center in Sydney. So these are some of the best airlines in the world, and they're recognizing that the environment in an airplane is fundamentally difficult to create a healthy space. And on top of that, we're being stressed by travel, air travel in itself.
And in reading about these amenities, I couldn't help but roll my eyes until I thought about how great I felt flying business class or first class, where I could stretch out and have those little warm towels after I had my champagne cocktail to wipe my hands on. It really does make flying almost super pleasurable.
Yeah, the space thing is a big and important one, because, you know, you got to move your legs and arms to avoid deep vein thrombosis. Dr. Oz recommends a series of exercises, the rolling of the knees, the ankles, left and right, up and down, and about 20 others. That makes a huge difference, because we're stressed from the moment the alarm goes off in our house until we get on a plane and lock in. All the events that lead up to that, the long lines of security, the crazy person who's standing in front of you, and then the final insult of being crammed into a tiny space, all lead to, they exacerbate the other stresses and can affect you in the air. On top of that, the food, the scientists and doctors I interviewed, we're looking very carefully at the food, the circulation, the ventilation. As we know, the cabin has a low, poor ventilation.
Yeah.
And all of this affects the passengers' health.
This is a little bit of a digression. You do a lot of traveling. Do you put yourself in a certain mindset when you travel, and what is that? How do you fly and get your work done without getting too upset sometimes about your surroundings?
That's a great question, Pat. The preparation begins several days before, and I'll explain. And some of this I learned from the interviews I did. First of all, I try to lose a couple of pounds. It sounds ridiculous, but I don't, and I especially don't eat the night before I travel, because I find I get a little, if I get nervous and anxious, the butterflies in my stomach make my day terrible, no matter how much caviar they give you on a, in a business class. So for the couple of days before I fly, I eat a little bit less. I also, this is one, the recommendation of one of the doctors I interviewed, I change my time clock a little bit to the place I'm going to. So I'll get up an hour earlier and eventually adjust to the time I'm going to anticipate and try to avoid circadian dysrhythmia, better known as jet lag. Mm-hmm. And then on the day of travel, I am prepared. It's all about the mindset, as you say. And I try to go with the flow. I try to anticipate the problems. I've packed the night before. Literally, everything is at the door. And all I have to do is get up, shower, and get dressed and leave. So I can be out the door in 20 minutes. And on the day of travel, I also anticipate that there will be a problem. So I don't flip out when there are problems because I've already imagined them. This is a trick I learned from my father. Always be early. You know, getting out of New York, for example, there's always going to be traffic to the airport. Leave extra time so you're not nervous on, you know, to miss the flight. And then by the time I'm in my seat, I let go. In other words, you know, I don't immediately log on and see what emails I've missed or anything. As soon as I fasten my safety belt, I feel like I'm in suspended animation and somebody else is going to take care of all the basic needs. I also make sure that I get up and walk around to exercise my limbs and stretch my arms and legs. And then I hate to sound corny, but I go with the flow.
And that keeps you from getting into a brawl with your fellow passengers or the flight attendant?
Yeah. No, we talked about this before we came on the air. There is a new level of rudeness on airplanes I notice nowadays. And I take the, as you're not surprised to hear, the Buddhist approach of letting people do and be what they are. I always imagine that the guy down the aisle from me has had a worse time than me. And you don't know what kind of crisis they're dealing with in their head. And I feel okay about me. So if somebody wants to give me trouble, I kind of smile and look away, or I don't make too much eye contact. I must admit, the one thing that does seem to bother me is babies crying.
Yeah.
And I feel for the baby, I feel for the mother. Everybody around you kind of bristles and bears with it, and you can see people rolling their eyes or looking at each other. And being a father of a now grown woman, but I remember traveling with her when she was very young, and it's not so bad as, remember the old days when they were smoking on planes?
That's true. And that's why they made noise-canceling headphones.
Yes.
So, let's get back to some of these amenities. Would you like to start with Dr. Oz?
Dr. Oz, who is of Turkish descent and is now working with Turkish Airlines, said that he was looking at what Turkish does as a scientist, meaning he considered all the five senses and plus one state of mind. And he applied this all to try to develop better programs. I was amused and impressed by things as detailed as his selection of herbal teas. Mm-hmm. And a lot of airlines will offer different kinds of herbal teas, and they consider that part of their in-flight improved dining experience. Mm-hmm. But he found, he went to the deeper sources and found herbs such as, some of these herbs I never heard of, rooibos, which contains calcium and magnesium and helps control stress. Roselle, which relieves bloating by contributing to the fluid and electrolyte balance. And a blend of green tea, cinnamon, ginger, corn silk, and garam masala, which is an Indian spice, which all aid the excretion of excessive fluids. The problem on airlines is if they bring you those peanuts, they're very salty, and you're trying to drink more to hydrate because the air in the plane is going to suck out your water.
Mm-hmm.
So you're rehydrating by drinking, but the salt in the other foods retain the water. So eventually you start feeling bad and stresses your joints. You feel a bit of inflammation. And then Oz also had a 20-point exercise program, which I mentioned. One interesting thing is there are a bunch of websites that evaluate airline experience, food, on-timeness, and other things. But so far, even though there is some innovation in the world of wellness in the air with these doctors, there are no websites that assess the health of a plane. They do, and they don't release their passenger satisfaction surveys, which these airlines told me they rely on. The editor-in-chief of AirlineRatings.com admitted that they really should be rating the wellness programs, because this is what people who fly and fly a lot know is going to be at least as critical to their travel experience as the on-timeness of a plane. But the thing that was most interesting to me, I think, in interviewing these doctors, is that they all agree that the issue that most affects the health of a flyer is the time change, the jet lag. Many of them develop programs that specifically try to trick the body out of thinking that it's gone either 3 hours ahead or behind, or in the long-haul flights, 12 hours. And it's these long-haul flights, and now they call them ultra-long-haul flights of 17 hours from Australia to New York. This is where our body clock goes crazy. And so a lot of the programs that they develop are to trick the body into believing that it has not gone across so many time zones. When God created the human body, or whoever it was, evolution created the human body, there was not the expectation that we could cross time zones in such a short time.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of it was designed around that. And I thought I was going to discover that they were new things. And there are a couple I want to tell you about. But the jet lag seems to be the thing that all of these programs are designed to assuage.
I was interested in hearing about Singapore Airlines, too. You mentioned Dr. Richard Carmona, who's with Canyon Ranch, and he's been hired by Singapore Airlines. And I remember when they launched this longest commercial airline route, 10,400-mile flight, 18 hours and 45 minutes between Singapore and Newark International. Wow.
Yes. That's typical of what these airlines are looking at. And Dr. Carmona had a particular dilemma that he had to try to resolve, because he was modeling after the Canyon Ranch Health Program, which is very personalized. So, you know, a guest at Canyon Ranch sits down with a consultant when they get there, and they develop a program that's customized for your needs. And he was trying to do that in the air, and it was not so easy, because personalization of in-flight wellness raises the question, how do you democratize air travel, he told me. In other words, as you and I were just talking about, the business and first class, they get the royal treatment. Back there in the economy, with the chickens and the pigs and the crying babies, it's a little harder.
Yeah.
And he said the future lies in leveraging genetic findings. He said if we could identify genes that code for circadian dysrhythmia, we could make dietary and environmental recommendations on a passenger-by-passenger basis, so that 5 to 10 years from now, we may be able to use people's genomic footprint, that is their DNA profile, to improve not only their flight but their lives. And it made me think about the future of health, which all comes out of the research that these doctors are doing for airlines. Carmona is one of the great ones.
Air France has a program that deals with the anxieties of flying that we mentioned also earlier.
Yes, Air France works with a medical aviation physician, Dr. Vincent Fuoli, And because they were focusing on offsetting the anxieties of travel, they also brought in their psychologist. It's news to me, Pat, that airlines have medical aviation physicians, but several do. And psychologist Philip Gurney rattled off a list of the reasons why we feel stress in the air, including the drastic security rules, the air traffic congestion, you're never sure if your flight's going to arrive or take off on time, waiting time in airports, more important people sharing less and less space in economy seating environment. So they did studies. They did a fear of flying course called Taming the Plane, which informed them. And they developed a meditation program in partnership with Mind, which is one of the apps that airlines entertainment screens. Mind and another one called Headspace, which about a dozen airlines use, all try to teach you to meditate in a plane with the headset on, looking at a screen, or with your eyes closed. I am a longtime meditator, and I found it hard to believe that on even a 12-hour flight, somebody could learn to meditate and basically not think about the environment, the noise, the rustling, the pressure on your ears and all that. But Headspace has some research that shows that you can do this. You can focus on your breath, or the voice, and you can basically push out all the extraneous environmental influences that are causing you stress. And once again, as many of your guests say, stress creates a cascade of other problems, so that if you are already having low back problems generally, as many of us do, the stress of the flight and the weird seating are just going to exacerbate that. So I was impressed with that. They were focused on the body part that is the hardest to tame, which is the mind.
Did they say anything in your journeys and in your interviews about, I know this is wacky, but the size of the onboard bathrooms? They are so troubling to me that they seem to be getting smaller. You can barely even turn around in them. There been
no.
any move to increase them?
No.
Ugh.
The answer is no. Nobody mentioned it. It's a brilliant observation, Pat. Ugh. I haven't noticed that they're getting smaller.
Maybe it's just me.
I had hip replacement.
Yes.
And I've had low back pain. So I'm always looking for that handle to grab. I think it's a very interesting observation, and I think airlines should take a closer look at how they construct and organize the feng shui of the bathrooms.
Well, especially since everybody has been HGTV-ized to have these huge bathrooms with a lot of space, and then you get on a plane and you can barely turn around in a bathroom.
I want to make one other comment.
Okay, go
you
ahead.
Know, even given all the wonderful things that airlines are doing, no matter how well-intentioned their programs are, I had to ask the question, are airlines' investments really worth it? And I interviewed a gentleman named Sean Mullen, who's associate professor and director of the Exercise Technology and Cognition Labs at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. And Dr. Mullen, who's an expert in brain training, takes about 6 domestic flights a year, said he's tried various airline on-screen programs supposed to improve mental and physical well-being. And he was not impressed.
Oh.
He said, you'd get just as much bang for your buck by standing in the aisle, walking to the restroom, even if you don't have to go. Physical activity and reducing sedentary time are likely the best ways to improve your mental state in such a confined space. So you could buy noise cancellation speakers, you know, the headsets, or use an app to facilitate rhythmic breathing and mindfulness, and that might compensate, especially if you're in economy class, compensate for the extra space you get in business and first and the very special TLC you get in those upper classes in the front of the plane. So while these four airlines I picked out that I found, Turkish, Air France, Qantas, and Singapore have had the brilliance to bring on doctors to develop their wellness programs. Still, the simple, logical, practical things you can do yourself are almost going to be as good as what these physicians are coming up with in flight travel. And in the end, if you're taking a long-haul flight, it's not a day at the beach. It's going to involve some stress and some physical stress and mental stress. And as we said before, a lot of what you can do with your mind and a lot of pre-flight preparation is going to help take care, at least help address some of the physical problems you're going to experience flying.